Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Your grace is enough. Thank you for joining us for Missions Conference 2011 on Tuesday evening, November the 8th.
Well, good evening. I'll give you guys a time to meander in here. It's looking at Revelation chapter 4. The last verse where there's that scene of crowns being cast before his feet. And then there's this cry of, "Worthy are you, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." And I wonder what that sound is going to be like, what that praise is going to be like. One of the most amazing sounds I ever heard in my life was in the jungles of Papua New Guinea. And in a little church of tribal believers there. And when the man stood up to lead the music, he just held out a tone, just one note. And the first row picked up on that tone, and then the sound grew, and the sound grew. And once he heard it reach the back of the room, he started that song. And listening to tribal believers praise God and pour out their hearts to God was one of the most incredible sounds I've ever heard. So I hope that as we stand in praise tonight, it won't just be singing, but it's praise. It's God's people connecting with Him and expressing their heart back to Him. Father, we invite You into this time with us. Lord, we want this to be a time of meeting with You. We come here not out of duty, not out of habit, but because we want to be inspired by what You're doing locally and globally to further Your kingdom and to glorify Your name. And it's Your glory that draws us. And so tonight, as we praise, as we listen, we pray that Your Spirit would be speaking to our hearts and giving us a clearer picture and motivation for being involved in the furtherance of Your gospel. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with me? Let's pour out our hearts to Him.
Lord, I come to You. Let my heart be changed, renewed, flowing from the grace that I found in You. Lord, I've come to know as I see in me will be stripped away by the power of Your love.
Here we go, pour it out, here we go.
Hold me close, let Your love surround me.
Thank you.
I wait, I'll mount up like the eagle, and I will soar with you. Your spirit leads me on in the power of your love, and I will soar with you.
I was just trying to remember how many years ago I bumped into Frank Hobart the very first time. Seems like you had kids at home then, and you had just moved down from, was North Chicago, someplace like that. And I got a call from one of the guys that pastors in Tri-Cities, and Wayne White. And he said, we're getting an Awana missionary. And I said, an Awana missionary? Really? And he says, yeah, he's Frank Hobart, and you need to have him in a meeting and introduce him to your Awana people, etc. And there were not many Awana churches in Chattanooga at that time. I think probably, I'm guessing maybe two or three of us. And how many are there now? Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of people just hadn't heard about Awana, and you know, we were, of course, really excited to be a part of that. And of course, anything that, you know, anybody, any preacher tells me, I always believe it. So anyway, I know you believe that, but Frank, it's good to have you come and report to us. Tell us a little bit about the work of Awana.
Well, it's actually been 26 years ago, 1985, when I first came to Chattanooga in fear and trembling, there were only about 34 Awana churches in the whole state of Tennessee. So we really came on faith. I got to tell you, I was scared to death. And Wayne sent me down here to Chattanooga. We had no idea this is where we would end up living. As Dr. Euler said, Dr. Euler and Bill Summers were my very first friends in Chattanooga. And so we go back a long ways. And Bill Summers, he took me around Chattanooga, and he was introducing me to pastors in Chattanooga. And while we were driving around town, you know, Bill says, I'm going to build the best Christian school in the city of Chattanooga. And I believe you must have done it. So we had a good time then. But at that time, Camilla was the Sparks director. Yep. And Sherry was just a little kid. She grew up with my daughters. But it's about 30 years ago now, in one of my quiet times, the Lord gave us my ministry verse. I was reading through 2 Timothy, and that's one of my favorite. I got to speak for several of the classes in the school today, and 2 Timothy is one of my favorite books in God's Word. You know, first of all, the Apostle Paul's my hero, one of my heroes. You know, he's a man's man. He just epitomized what Christian manhood was all about. You know, and of course he had a past too. But the very last thing that he pens before he is martyred for his faith and he goes home to glory, he's writing this letter, this last letter to young Timothy, and he tells him, he gets down to chapter 2 there, and he says, the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men, and if you will, faithful men and women, who will go out and teach others also. And the Holy Spirit just hit me with that thing that morning, and I just prayed and asked God if he would make that verse a reality in my life. And be very careful what you pray for. Now, 26 years later, and I want you to know that's my ministry verse, but my testimony is over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where the Apostle Paul told the Corinthians, you see your calling, brethren. How not many wise, not many mighty men, they're not called. He said, God uses the foolish things in life. And it doesn't get much more foolish than this. But that's my calling. So I am the least of God's servants, and I sincerely, with all my heart, I thank God every day, every single day, that I get to do what I get to do. There have got to be millions of people in America that could probably do a better job at what I do than I do, but God lets me do it because he gets all the glory when he uses somebody like me. But now, 26 years later, we have gone from 34 Awana churches in Tennessee, and as Dr. Euler said, there were only about a half a dozen of them at the most here around Chattanooga, and now we have over 500 Awana churches in the state of Tennessee, just Tennessee, and for about 10 of those years, I was also the Awana missionary for North Alabama. I still get to serve Northeast Alabama, but there are now about 180 Awana churches there. So in the Tennessee Valley and the state of Tennessee, we are up to almost 700 Awana churches. Awana has been promoting the 414 window philosophy in the church. See, 80% of all of the people that are saved in this country every year are saved between the ages of 4 and 14 years old. By the time our child turns 14 years old, if they're not truly saved, the chance of them being saved as a teenager from 14 to 21 years old, only 10% of those teenagers in this country that are not saved will ever get saved. See, 80% or 10%. That's the question. And by the time a child turns 14 years old, their philosophy, their personality, their character, their beliefs are all pretty well etched in stone. So you see how critical our ministry is to kids. And I would love to tell you that all of these Awana churches, you know, that the majority of churches out here are just like Grace, and they have a vision to reach this last generation, to disciple and train this last generation, to educate this last generation. But unfortunately, the vast majority of churches in America are doing very little to reach this last generation. So these are challenging days. I don't have to tell you, these are probably the most challenging times the United States of America has ever seen. And now we find ourselves after 26 years. See, because ministry just keeps getting bigger, and because of an Awana ministry in a church just like yours, all over Tennessee, there are probably about 40,000 kids a year being discipled and trained to live for the Lord. But that's 40,000 out of about 2 or 3 million. The population of the state of Tennessee is 5 million. And figure probably 50% of them have to be kids, wouldn't you think? So that's at least 2.5 million kids. We got a long ways to go. But please pray for us. After all these years, we find ourselves back in the support-raising mode again. Because churches really don't have a vision, the majority of churches really don't have a vision like Grace does to reach kids. And as you see, children's ministry in the average church only accounts for about 3% of the church budget. So it's pretty hard to get people that don't have a vision to reach kids, to get those people to support ministries for kids. So pray for our support as we continue to raise support. Again, please continue praying for Linda. The doctors readjusted her meds this week and have replaced one of her inhalers. So hopefully, you know, they get this thing balanced. So you keep praying for us. But I just want to say thank you so much, Grace, for being such a faithful and wonderful partner for all these years. And because of your faithfulness, there are seriously, thousands and thousands have been reached for the Lord now. And again, I am the least of God's servants. I just pray that God will continue to let me do what I'm doing until Jesus gets here. I think our days are numbered. Time is short. I'm not a date setter. We know Jesus didn't come on, May 21st? And I think the new date wasn't the new date supposed to be like October 21st? And he didn't make it then either. So no man knows the day or the hour, but I'm sure that Jesus is coming soon. So that means our days are numbered, and we have to work really hard to catch up. So thank you so much. I want to say that I'm really very humbled to be in the company of some of these missionaries. Tim, I want to tell you that Sunday night, man, that was just awesome. Thank you so much. Again, Dr. Roller, thank you for letting me come. And we'll just keep on keeping on.
It is the cry of my heart. It is the cry of my heart to follow you. It is the cry of my heart to be close to you. It is the cry of my heart to follow all of the days of my life. Teach me your holy ways. Teach me your holy ways, O Lord, so I can walk in your truth. Teach me your holy ways, O Lord, and make me wholly devoted to you. It is the cry of my heart to follow you. It is the cry of my heart to be close to you. It is the cry of my heart to follow all of the days of my life. Open my eyes. Open my eyes so I can see the wonderful things that you do. Open my heart up more and more and make it wholly devoted to you. It is the cry of my heart to follow you. It is the cry of my heart to be close to you. It is the cry of my heart. It is the cry of my heart to follow you. It is the cry of my heart to be close to you. It is the cry of my heart to follow all of the days of my life. All of the days, here we go. All of the days of my life. Amen. You may be seated.
Well, we're glad to have Daniel and Sherry Leathers to be able to share their ministry. They are going to Togo and going to be involved in a radio ministry there, and particularly up in the northern area at Mongo. And so, Daniel, if you and your wife will come, please.
Well, thank you for having us. We're Daniel and Sherry Leathers. It's a privilege to be with you tonight. Last night, we were sitting in front of a couple, and something was set up on the platform, and the wife leaned over to the husband. I didn't hear what he said. What did he say? And it reminded me of a story I heard of a doctor that came upon one of his patients once, and the doctor saw his patient out with he was an older gentleman in his 70s, and he was out with a very attractive young lady. And he goes up to the man, and he says, "What are you doing?" And the man says, "Well, I'm following your instruction." He says, "Well, what do you think I told you to do?" And he said, "Go out and have fun and get a hot mama." And he said, "No, take it easy. You have a heart murmur." And it has nothing to do with anybody that's had any heart issues in the near future. But we do thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. And we're with ABWE. We're going to be missionaries of Togo, West Africa, and we're going to tell you a little bit about that tonight. What we'd like to do is start off by giving a brief word of testimony, and then we're going to show you a short 6-minute video of a trip that we took to Togo, and it tells you a little bit of the background in Togo. And then we're going to give you a recap of what has happened since then, and then tell you a couple stories, and if we have time, we'd like time for some questions and answers. But why don't you go ahead and start?
Well, I'm Sherry Longnecker Leathers. A lot of you may know my parents. I grew up here in Chattanooga and was privileged to grow up in a Christian home. And I'm thankful for a godly heritage of grandparents and parents who not only modeled what it was to know God's word and to follow your life after God's word, but both of my dad's parents and my mom's parents were lifelong missionaries, and I'm thankful for just the impact that they had in our lives. Growing up, Mom and Dad always had missionaries in our homes, so we got to know missionaries and know how God used missionaries. My sister's married, her in-laws are also married missionaries, and Daniel's parents are as well. So we're thankful for God using these people just in our lives as we were growing up. I was saved at a young age. The Lord showed me that I needed a Savior, and I trusted Him as my Savior and was baptized a few years later. Grew up in going to Christian school and youth group, and at about 10th grade, I realized, you know, this thing with walking with the Lord, it was a daily thing, and God really did want to know me, and I decided I wanted to know God and made a commitment to be in God's Word and to grow and to follow God's plans for my life. To back up a little bit, when I was a kid at VBS, I remember going forward and telling the Lord I would go to be a missionary in Jamaica, because at the time my grandma and grandpa Birch were in Jamaica, and I thought God called missionaries to Africa, and I thought that was kind of scary. So funny how God even uses those things as a child as we grow. So I went to Word of Life Bible Institute, studied there for a year, and then came down to Tennessee Temple and finished my undergrad degree in psychology with an emphasis in women's ministry, and took a lot of extra Bible classes at the same time.
Well, I had the privilege of growing up in a Christian home also. I'm one of seven kids. I'm the second to the youngest. At the age of four, I accepted Christ into my heart. Later on, I dedicated my life to the Lord when I was at camp at Word of Life Islands in 1987. I was a teenager. And told the Lord, whatever you'd have me to do, all I am, I just want it to be in your hands. And and the Lord led me to go to the Word of Life Bible Institute upon graduation in high school. And during my summer year, my summer ministry at Word of Life, that's where I met Sherry. It was down in Hudson, Florida. And she was working as a teenager, as an STC program, a summer training course. She was working the summer, and I met her. We didn't really talk a lot, but that's where I first met her. And then God allowed me to stay on staff with Word of Life for some time, and I traveled with them and was able to develop some technical skills and some hands-on experience with a lot of their productions that were on the road at the time. So God really blessed, and He opened some doors for me, and I wanted to be faithful. He led me to Tennessee Temple University, where Sherry was finishing up her schooling. We worked in the youth group together. Later, we started dating, and then we're married. God allowed us to stay in Chattanooga for a few years, and we ministered in a church here. And then a few years after that, God called us down to Tallahassee, Florida. And our family started to grow. We now have three kids. Our oldest is 8 years old. His name is Marcus, and we have a 6-year-old Luke. And our youngest is Selah, like out of the Psalms, and she's four. And God has allowed me to be a part of a television station there in Tallahassee, part of a church and a ministry there. And Sherry has been involved with the ladies' ministries and children's ministries, and it's been a privilege. Why don't you tell about the mission conference and how the Lord led from there?
Okay. Each year in whatever church we were in, if they had a missions conference or if it was just January, the beginning of the year, we would always give ourselves to the Lord and just commit that year to Him. And usually at missions conference, we'd say, Lord, we'll go if you have us to go. So each year that just became something that we did, where we offered ourselves to the Lord for whatever purpose or whatever service He would call us to. And 2 years ago, our Global Impact Celebration, that's what we call our missions conference there at North Florida in Tallahassee, our missionaries were Ron and Ann Washer. He is the Africa director for ABWE. And he was talking about the hospital that they're building in Togo. And he mentioned his parents were with SIM. And so I said, well, did you know my Grandpa Birch? He was with just asking him questions and mentioned who my husband was, and he said, oh yeah, I want to talk to him about radio, we were talking the other day, and so I went and got Daniel and said, Ron wants to talk to you.
Yeah, at that point, when I met Ron, you know, he had talked about the radio, and he just started talking about, he was talking about the hospital, and he mentioned radio, and he said that, you know, we had been praying for this for years, and the wards were part of that prayer process, and they'd been praying for a radio to start in Toco. And he said, we just haven't been able to do it because no one will step up and do it. And
God got a hold of my heart. And we started praying about it as a family.
And Ron Washer suggested that we would take a survey trip to Togo to see if it would be a good fit for our family. The survey trip would involve going and checking it out for the family, but at the same time, we had an opportunity to take a technical team with us, a team to where we could physically survey the land and look for sites for a radio station and see about the availability of radio licenses and talk to government officials and so forth. And it was really neat how God just went before us and laid it all out. And we're going to show a short video, 6 minutes long. It's going to tell you a little bit about that survey trip, and then we want to take some time and share how the Lord has been working since that time. So if you guys want to go ahead and roll that video.
Hi, we're the Leathers. We are with ABWE, the Association of Baptists for World Evangelism. We're going to Togo, West Africa to begin Christian radio. In July 2010, we had an opportunity to take a survey trip to Togo.
The main purpose of the trip was to start looking at what it will take to bring Christian radio to Togo, West Africa, in areas that currently have no gospel programming. We are so thankful that the Lord went before us to give us good health, safe travel, a wonderful time with missionaries and the Togolese people, and a successful radio survey.
We had the opportunity to travel all over Togo. We arrived in Accra, Ghana, and then traveled to Lomé, the capital of Togo. Traveled north through Kara to Mongo, and then south to Chico in the Palame area, and then back to Accra. We had a great team. With us was Evan Drake, president from Bible Basics International out of Tampa, Florida, and John Collinson, chief engineer from the Home Shopping Network. After we arrived in Accra, we traveled to our first meeting. We met with Dan Peters, who has built many radio stations across Africa. The Lord truly blessed to provide us with this contact. Then we traveled to Lomé, met with two pastors there who have small radio ministries. There we learned how these pastors were doing programming for their areas, the various languages that were in the Lomé region, which is the southern portion there in Togo.
From Lomé, we traveled up through Kara and then on to Mongo. It was a long trip, and by the time we reached Mongo, we were so thankful to be at a destination after all of our travel. The missionaries there were such a blessing. Their kindness and loving outreach to the Togolese was a great example for us. While in Mongo, we were introduced to Nobiji, a Christian Togolese tailor who set up a sewing school to help local orphans learn a trade. He also has a captive audience to share what Christ has done for him and his family. Several of these apprentices have accepted Christ and are currently being discipled.
Also in Mongo, we traveled with Tim Newfield. We stopped at one home, the home of an imam, and this particular imam was having some health issues that Tim was helping him with. He provided some blood pressure medicine and took his blood pressure, spent some time with him, and then ended our little time together and prayed with the imam in Jesus' name. The imam turned and smiled at him and said, I take that and I apply it to myself.
We also had a chance to tour the hospital compound there in Mongo that is currently under construction. It's exciting to see what God is doing there, the things that we have heard about, and to see it coming to fruition is really a neat thing.
The area of Mongo is 80% Muslim. We had the opportunity to look around for a radio site. There are two secular radio stations there, the only two radio stations in Mongo. We toured one of them, They have a small tower, a small transmitter. This radio station is reaching 4 countries in the area. And it's pretty awesome to see the type of coverage you would get if the Lord would allow ABWE to start a radio station there in the Mongo area.
The second portion of our trip was to visit Chico, so we were on the road again. In Chico, we were able to meet more of the ABWE Togo missionary team and also take part in outreach.
After our exciting taxi ride into Chico, we had the opportunity to get settled in one of the guest houses. Later on, we met with Judy Bowen, a family friend. She directs the Christian Resource Center there at the ABWE complex. Judy was also very excited about the potential of radio there in the Palame Chico area. On Wednesdays, it's an exciting time there at the Chico compound. There are just tons of kids that come out to hear the Word of God. They have an exciting time of just sharing the gospel. They have game time, snack time, kind of like what a 5-day club would be in your backyard. Later on, we had the opportunity to visit the hospital there in Chico, and it was exciting to see that every person had a chance to hear the gospel. It was neat to see the surgeons in action. We visited various areas of the hospital. Some were a little bit more exciting than others, but it was a neat experience.
One of the highlights of my time in Chico was the opportunity to go on some ministry visits with a women's ministry team. We visited several HIV patients. These were ladies who had come to know Christ. This was such an awesome experience to pray with these ladies who have put their trust in our great physician. Later on that day, I was able to meet with 2 young girls who attend the blind school in Palame, and they were kind enough to demonstrate to me how they read in Braille.
We truly had an awesome time as we traveled Togo. It's hard to share with you in detail everything that went on, but it was exciting to see even some of the doors that the Lord opened just right before we got there and as we were there. Pray with us that the Lord will provide the right team to lead this endeavor. Pray for the Togolese people that the Lord will prepare their hearts. One thing that we saw were just the numerous mosques there in Togo. And it was sad to see, because we know that they're not worshiping the one true God. But we know that the Word of God is true, and His Word does not return void. And we know that through radio, that many of these souls can be reached for Christ.
Made it from the survey trip, and we mentioned pray for a team. Well, the neat thing about that story is that 3 months after Sherry and I said yes, that we would go, that another couple came forward and said, hey, we're looking for an area of ministry, and God had already prepared this family to be a part of this team, and so now they're actually on pre-field with us. Their names are Andy and Amanda Jessison, and how exciting that is. And also, another couple that are already on the field in Mongo have committed to helping the station also with our programming needs. So how exciting that is, just to see how God had it in mind, and that He, you know, we can just trust Him that, you know, He's bringing it all together. Now, we are praying for 2 other couples. We need, to do it right, we believe we need 5 couples to take care of this radio station. And our goal is to go in there and train these nationals how to do it, so that they, in turn, can train others and have that chance to disciple others. One thing that we're going to mention is that Togo, the literacy rate is about 39%, and it just shows you the the great need for something like radio, because it's how they communicate through listening and through hearing. And the official language is French, so the radio station will have some French on there. Because the radio station will reach Ghana to the west, we'll have some English on there. We'll also have Onifo and one other language that slips my mind right now, but about four languages up north there. It's important that we have a station that is a 24/7 station, so that the programming on there is solid and is preaching the word and is not watered down. And one of the things that we mentioned was right before on the trip there that God had provided something, you know, right as we got to Ghana, as we flew into Ghana. Well, on the plane, we actually had a connection through one of the missionaries in Togo of a man in Ghana that has started radio stations there in West Africa. And he lived 10 minutes from the airport. And so as soon as we hit the ground, we got in a taxi and hit a ride on over to meet him. And so we were able to meet him and get some contacts for, tower erection and wiring and engineering and so forth. And I just thought that was so neat. And from the get-go, on that survey trip, that God was just going before us and preparing the way. And it was exciting to see. We wanted to share a couple stories with you, and then we'll take some questions and answers if you would like.
Last year, about this same time in November, Dad's mom, my grandmother Longnecker, had suffered a stroke and passed away. So my family and we had all gathered in this chapel in Benton, Pennsylvania, and one by one, Dad's one of 13, as you probably know, and so one by one, my aunts and uncles were taking to the platform, just sharing about Grandma's life and what a testimony she had been, her love for her family, and how she had just loved her neighbors and served the Lord and her life. And as we stood to sing the final song there, I just became overwhelmed with gratefulness for her life and what she had meant and instilled in my life. And just came to my mind the recollection that we had found out recently that both my grandmother and my grandfather had been praying for some time that God would bring someone from our family and send them to the mission field, and how grateful we are that He's chosen us to be an answer to their prayers.
2 years ago, there's a family in Benin, West Africa. Benin is east of Togo, just to the east there. And a mother by the name of Renee was with her seven kids in their one hut little house, and they were listening to radio. Well, at that time, Christian radio had just started in their area, and so they were hearing a message they had never heard before, and they were intrigued by it. They were listening. The mother accepted Christ as her Savior, and one by one, the kids followed and accepted Christ as their Savior. Their father, Kosi, was a hard worker and would work during the day, but instead of coming home in the evenings, he would stay out and spend the money that he earned and blow it with his friends and wasn't coming home. Well, Renee and the kids started praying for Kosi that he would start coming home. And you know what? Before long, Kosi started coming home. And one day he saw the kids and Renee listening to the radio, and he went over and started listening to the radio. Another day passed, he would sit in and listen again. And before long, God, the Holy Spirit, convicted his heart, and he accepted Christ as Savior. And later on, the station staff had a chance to hear about the story and ask them about it. And Kosi said, "I'm so thankful for this Christian radio station because it's changed my life and my family's life. And I just think that we're the most happy family on earth." And it is our prayer that we can do something like that in Mongo. As you saw in the video, two radio stations on the dial up in Mongo. None of them are preaching the word. No gospel programming. A totally unreached people. Just wide under harvest, ready to be to hear the gospel. And our goal, Acts 26:18, that God would open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. And that's our goal. We'd love to take some time, question and answer. We're only able to share just a little bit, but if you have any questions. Let's just take a couple minutes. Would love to answer anything you might have to ask. Anybody at all? Should we get some candy and throw it out for those that ask have questions? It worked at the school this morning. We're like, we said, okay, we're gonna have some questions. They're all looking at us like, then we started throwing candy at people.
All the hands went up. There's one right there.
Yes, ma'am. How will we get the equipment to build the radio station? We'll purchase what we can here in the States probably, and then we'll ship it over, and then we'll pay some port fees. One thing that I didn't mention is we're focusing on the radio station in the north of Mongo, but we're also at the same time have plans for a radio station in the south where Mary and Andrew are going. And so we'll purchase equipment for both stations, so it'll save us some funds going into port. And so the Mongo will be first. We'll get that up and running, train those nationals, and then the Chico station will begin. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
You said that this is a Muslim area. Do you
That's
guys
right.
anticipate some opposition to establishing a Christian radio station?
There may be. It's a friendly Muslim. It's Muslim mixed with animism. So you got a little bit of this, a little bit of that. They don't really understand what they're doing. They're kind of going through the rituals and so forth. But
also, too, the hospital is ABWE is putting the hospital together. They have asked ABWE to start that hospital up there. So with the connection there, they are being particular about where they put the station. At one point, they had considered putting it there on the hospital grounds and thought maybe if militants did come in, that might be a target for the hospital as well. So we're prayerfully considering, and the team is considering that aspect as well.
Right, so our house will probably be at the base of the tower instead. Yes, sir.
You may have said this before, but what was the geographical area program you said it on?
Yes, it's going to reach over 1.3 million people up north there. The Mongo area up north, 80% heavy Muslim area, Ghana to the west, Burkina Faso to the north, and then Benin to the east. Yes, sir. Anybody else? Yes, sir. No radios. Well, right. I tell you what, though. Everybody's got them. Judy Bowen, we were talking, and she said, Daniel, the last thing that they would get rid of, if they had to get rid of everything and they had to leave their house and go, the last thing that they would get rid of would be their radio. But also at the same time, for those that don't have radios, God has brought a connection already with Galcom out of Canada, who make the solar power radios that also have the Bibles in different languages, so you can listen to the Bible, and you can also have a fixed frequency on there. For less than $20, you can get these made, and so we're going to be teaming up with Galcom also for those that don't have radios. Anybody else? Let's take two more, and then we'll turn it over. Anybody? Yes, sir.
Projected date.
Sherry and I have been on pre-fill for 3 months now. God has blessed us. We're at 21%. We're trusting the Lord for us to be at 100% in 10 months. And if God allows us to do that, we'll be in language school in France for a year and a half. And then so our target date for the startup of the radio station would be 2015, which would be the startup date of the hospital in the north. Of course, construction, Lord willing, will start before that. And we have a man that's actually going over in 2013 to begin that. Yes, sir. One more. Last chance. Our shirts were made, our clothing was made by Nobiji there on the video. We went to his place in Mongo, and he made up our family. In fact, that was back in 2010. It's kind of funny. He made them so big. I mean, my mom actually took this in. I mean, this thing was way out here. And the kids are now just fitting into their clothes, but it worked out just great. So thank you so much for your time, Pastor. Thank you.
Okay. That's a snazzy shirt. I think I can make a fashion statement in that. Now, Father, I thank you for all that you're doing for us, and we pray, Father, that we'll be an assist in helping these folks get to the field. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God by knowing Him through His Word, loving Him through worship and obedience, and serving Him by caring for others. For more information about our ministries, please go to www.aboutgracebaptist.org. See you next time.